We are continuing our series on the will of God, the 2020 edition, if you will. And we are going over some of these wheels in particular. Let me just turn my electronic blackboard on, if you will. Okay, so yeah, biblically speaking, there are at least four different wheels. Don't hold me to that per se in a sense, because really the permissive will of God is really couched in his sovereign will. Okay, and by that I mean that because God is the sole controller, that's what sovereign means. Possessing unilateral, one-sided, independent, autonomous authority, right? When we say that God is sovereign, we're saying he is subject to no one. He is self-governing, self-determining ruler that has all authority and all power. And I would have added, if you're taking notes, and all rights, right? He has the right to do whatever he wants. At any given time, he has a right to allow whatever he wants at any given time. So in his sovereign will really is couched a permissive will, but for the sake of discussion, we're kind of counting that as a different one in a sense, but really couched in this. There's a sovereign will of God, the permissive will, the will of disposition. Everybody know what a disposition of will is relating to? His attitude. Why is the fellow the only one that always answers that question? Is he the only one listening? Yes, his attitude. His attitude toward things, right? God hates sin. Right? He hates a lying tongue and go all those things that they talk about in Proverbs. That's the will of disposition, or disposition of will. And I'm spelling this wrong. It's preceptive will because of the precepts, which are his commands. And so we're kind of going over these right now. So we're really going over the sovereign will and the permissive will inside of the sovereign will. We said last time, probably, and repeated it over and over again, that whenever God permits or allows sin or evil or wickedness to go forth, remember, he is doing so to produce his desired result, his predetermined end. He's never haphazardly doing anything like that just for the sake. Everything has a plan. Sorry about that. Everything has a plan. Everything has a purpose. And when people say that, they're actually right on that. Everything does have a plan. Everything does have a purpose. There is a reason for it. The hard part is coming to terms or coming to grip with evil and the presence of it. And that's why we're going over it yet for the third straight, this week, on Sunday and Wednesday. To remind you over and over again and over and over and over and over and over and over that when God does allow it to happen, there is always a plan behind that. And remember, permission or his allowance does not mean agreement or approval. So you got to keep remembering. You got to keep saying these things over and over and over and over so that when your mind starts to go that way as to looking at God crazy and wanting to charge God like Job did not do. Remember it said in all this, Job never charged God or sinned. The word of God says he never sinned and he never charged God foolishly. He didn't sin with his mouth. Amen. And as I always say right behind that, you know, boy, your 10 kids get killed and all your money is gone and you wiped out, you're now bankrupt and poor, we're going to look real crazy at God. And more than likely, most real talk are going to charge God and blame God. Job is one of the great saints in the Bible. 10 children killed in one day. I think we think it really didn't happen that way, or it's some sort of, you know, some sort of allegory or some sort of, you know, metaphor, but it didn't really happen. No, Job was a real person. He had 10 children. This is not some sort of parable. I think that's why we don't really view Job as one of the great, great saints. He had 10 children. They were all killed in one day. All 10. If just one of ours was killed, then which rightfully so, we're going to be done. We're going to be in a lot of pain. But to have all 10 children killed in one day. Let's look at that. Yeah, let's look at that. Look at Job chapter 1. It's really a classic example of God allowing evil for the ultimate good. Did Job ever find out while he was here on earth as to what was going on? No, you already shouldn't hear no, because he didn't. The Lord let us peek in. But he never told Job. I'm saying that to say to you, things that are going on in your life that are just crooked and cross-eyed, you may never know on this side why they're going on. Just trust God and know that he's working all this out to his predetermined end, for his good, for his glory. Job 1. And as I remind you, I like to remind the saints who are reading this, that this commentary is from God through the writer of Job. So this is God's commentary on Job through the writer. Listen to that. This is what God is saying about Job. Verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. That's amazing. What a commentary. Then it goes through all the money that he had. First of all, his prosperity and his family. They were born him 7 sons, 3 daughters. Then look at all the sheep, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. That's all money back then. That's what cattle was, money. He was a very rich man. 500 female donkeys and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His son used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. So all they would have a feast at all 10 houses. One house, next house, next house. Well, they knew how to congregate as a family. That didn't come with, you know, family reunions here. You know, that's been going on. And chronologically speaking, theologians tell us that Job is really the oldest book in the Bible. And so here he is, having great family fun. Verse 5, on the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offering according to the number of them all. Remember, that's his way of worshiping and offering, offering for sin. It's the Old Testament way. A type of Christ. For Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. A righteous man who feared God, right? Who feared God, meaning he feared God as in fearing God, but also he revered and worshiped and honored God. Perhaps my children in their heart, it says, may have sinned against God. They didn't commit a sin. They just might have thought about it. What a father. We read way too fast from Job. Verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. The phrase sons of God, it's safe to say those are talking about angels. Angels. It was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. So here are the sons of God gathering around, almost like a board meeting, to meet with God. And here comes Satan in the presence of God. By the way, Satan is not in hell. I've taught you all that years ago. People think Satan is in hell. He's not in hell. And we just believe what the preacher says because we don't think it through. Hell is a place of torment. He's not trying to go to hell early. No way. He's in heaven accusing before God, Greg Harris or whoever his children are. Look at them. Get them. He's the accuser of the brethren. Have you heard that phrasing? That's one of his names. The accuser of the brethren. Let me show you something. Keep a marker there, as they say. Turn over to Revelation chapter 12, I think. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 7. Now the dragon is another name for Satan. The dragon is another name for Satan or the devil, the serpent. All of those are names that represent Satan. Look at verse 7. Now war arose in heaven. Where? In heaven. Not in hell. In heaven. Michael, who is an archangel, mm-hmm. He would be like, you know, he would, I don't know, y'all don't know. Anybody know Godfather? You know, when there was trouble, he said Luca Brasi. Yeah. Michael is Luca Brasi. He's the, Luca Brasi is about 6'5 and scary looking. Michael was that guy. When there was a problem with Daniel, they sent Michael. So Michael is like the leader of the angels. He's the lead warrior angel. So look how they specifically mentioned Michael. There was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fighting against Satan, the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. And he, that would be the dragon, was defeated. And look at these next 5 or 6, 7, whatever. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is also called the devil. There it is. And Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Do you see that? Notice how it says there was no longer. Because until this war happens, and it hasn't happened, he's in heaven. Interesting, isn't it? We all thought it was a lie from the pit of hell. Well, it ain't coming from Satan, then. God, no, I never heard that one. That's a lie from the pit of hell. No, it's from the pit of heaven. He's in heaven accusing. He's before the face of God. Accusing. Get him. They said, look. And God is steadily saying, it's covered under the blood. He's quoting 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And the blood of Jesus Christ, my son, is cleansing them from all sin.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
So the devil, you have no say here. He quotes to him Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Qualifies. Who walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free at last from the law of sin and death.
Hallelujah.
We. That's why you got to know the word. He can accuse all he wants, Miss Cheryl. But the Lord is saying, you have no place here. 1 John 2:2 lets us know that when we do sin, we have an advocate. We have one who's a defense attorney who goes to the Lord God on our behalf. Hallelujah. And who is he? Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a propitiation, long word, meaning he's a satisfier. The satisfaction for our sin. Glory be to God. Not for I was only the sin of the world. That's why we don't know and rejoice in his grace and Jesus. We don't know who this Jesus is. We don't know. That's why I just take my time and teach and overteach and teach again and teach and teach and teach. Because I know we're not. Am I right, Father? That it, you're not going to get it until you get it. Mm-hmm. Period. You got to hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Because of our sin, we just don't get it like that. We got to fight through all these lies we've heard all from mother, father, sister, brother, the schools for 13 years. If you go to public school, you've been lied to for 13 years in some way, shape, or form for 10 months per year. For 13 years. And if you go to college, even more than that. Yeah. That's why you got to let the word of God flood your mind. Because you got to get all that junk out. And it take a minute to get all that mess out. Yes, sir. That's why Romans 12:2 has to happen. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing, Greek, renovating of your mind. You got to remove them old 2x4 way of thinking with them rusted nails. Because you've been thinking of for 25, 26, 30 years, 40 years. In my case, 40 years. No, Satan is in heaven now until this war happens, and then he's expelled. So does that not fit in with what Job is happening to Job? Here come the angels in heaven. Here comes Satan. Let's go back to Job. Chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And the fact that they came to present themselves, it makes it sound like that was a custom. That's what they did. They came, okay, we come like front and center. Come on. I need to see y'all for the Lord. And Satan came too. And the Lord said to Satan, he didn't say, why are you here? Why are you not in hell? No. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. Something that the writer, the Holy Ghost through the writer of Job, takes the time to write out Satan's answer. So clearly, I've been going to and fro, up and down. I'm back and forth. Michelle, are you okay?
Yes,
ma'am. To and fro, back and forth, up and down. You read too fast. Where else is that? Is that anywhere else in scripture? Nephew?
Peter?
Yes. Let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 5.
Verse 8.
Yep. That's right. And that's something. Look at back and forth, to and fro, up and down. In the oldest book in the Bible. So that means Satan been doing, once we find out the 1 Peter, we find out he's been doing this a long time. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. By the way, those are not suggestions.
Amen.
Why? Because you have an enemy. Adversary, the devil's on the prowl. He says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. I've used this example many times. When law enforcement is going into a building. You think he's going like this? Hey, how y'all doing? Somebody's in there armed and extremely dangerous. They up in there, you know what I'm saying? Guns drawn. They are taking their time. They are sober, alert, and watchful because there's an enemy out there. We treat the enemy, Miss Palmer, like no big deal. Like he ain't no real threat. And we just walk around la-di-da-do-di-do. And he's picking off ministries, pastors. Because we just don't have an understanding about this enemy. We just thought, oh, I guess God is just, you know, just telling a joke, I guess. I mean, I'm not really. No, he says, be on the prowl, be on the alert, be on the lookout. Be watchful. Why? Your adversary, your enemy, and then let you know who it is. The devil prowls around. That's what the prowling is. Job lets us know the prowling. Up and down, to and fro, back and forth. That's prowling. He's prowling around like a lion, right? Like a lion. Everybody asleep? Is it like a lion or no? No, it's not like a lion. Y'all not reading. What's the adjective? Say what?
Roaring.
Nephew, they all asleep. I did that on purpose. Need you to wake up. Like a roaring lion. Roaring means what? When the lion roars. Hunger. Hunger. He's hungry. The Holy Spirit added the adjective roaring in front of lion. He's hungry for God's people. It says roaring lion seeking up and down, back and forth, whom he may devour. In the Greek, gulp down whole. He's hungry to destroy and devour God's people. He's not just a lion. He's a hungry lion. And I tell you what, we need to be on guard. Go back to verse 8 again. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. That's my name. The word be watchful is my name in Greek. Gregorio. Watchful. Stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert. It's amazing how you can have spiritual schizophrenia and paranoia and still have peace and love and calm. It's just amazing how the two go. Because you must be on guard. You all know you can come out of your workplace just the happiest, had the greatest day ever, and get on the freeway, and by the time you get home, you're ready to kill 10 people. It just happened just like that. Don't take nothing but a look of somebody bumping over, somebody saying something to you crazy. You must stay alert. Because he's on the prowl. And he's been on the prowl for millennia. Thousands of years. Let's go back to Job. Because the Lord says, what you doing? He said, oh, verse 7. Satan answered, going to and fro in the earth from walking up and down on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, my slave? That word, I told you, that word servant is mentioned 801 times in the Old Testament. 801 times. That word means slave. But again, they got scared because of the connotation and decided to translate the word slave. But have you considered my slave, Job? This is God asking Satan, have you thought about Job? My servant, that there is none. He says it again. He repeats from verse 1 that there is none like him on the earth. Wow. I mean, he even adds to it. There's none like him on the entire earth. A blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Wow. What a commentary by God. And we're reading this today. And that was about 6,000 years ago when he said that. We're still reading that. That's amazing. That God himself is saying this about Job. And we ought to give Job a second thought. How many more people have God? How many people have God said this about it, you know, in the Word? Not too many where this comment came across. It says it twice. Again in verse 8, blameless, upright, and then he adds, there's none like him. And he turns away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and says, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? How would Job? Why does the devil know all of that to that degree? Because the answer to verse 8, and the Lord said to him, have you considered my servant Job, is a resounding yes. I've studied him. I've tried to come at him from the top, from the bottom, from the up and the down, the back and the forth. He said, you got a hedge all about him. Because I tried to get him, but when he was by himself, and his house, I tried to get at his family and his stuff and all that he had. I tried to get at his possessions on every side. Yes, I've considered Job very deeply. And I can't get to him. Is that not classic sovereignty teaching? If God said, devil, you can't touch him. Guess what? Devil, you can't touch him. And the devil couldn't touch him until God gave him permission. The reason he knew he was protected on every side, him and his house and all that he has, is because I believe he tried to get at all of that. Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. How does he know all of that so thoroughly? He's watched. Come on, preacher. And if you're walking with the Lord on that level, he's watching you. Verse 11. Verse 11. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Now, I don't know if you put that together with verse 9. So time we read to, let's go back to verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? He said, what kind of question is that? He said, you consider my servant Job. And the Lord, and Satan answered, you done tore him off real strong, protect him up and everything. Does he serve you for no reason? He's saying, do you know what he's saying? The only reason he's serving you, because you take care of him. He's just serving you because you're blessing him. You see that? You got to read that. That's a crucial, crucial thing. He is saying to God, Job only serves you because you bless him. That's it. Why is that a crucial thing? Because he's saying to God, here you are boasting about your boy and all this. He ain't real. He not the real deal. Come on. Because what God is implying, and what you're implying, God, is that he got faith in you, that he really loves you, because you said that he reveres you and fears you. Yeah, right. Man, the only reason he is in there even cool with you, because you bless him. That's why. Well, how you know he's saying that? Think of verse 11 again. Stretch your hands, touch all that he has, and I'll prove to you, God, that he'll curse you to your face. It ain't nothing but possession that he all cool with you about. It ain't got nothing to do with you personally, God. Lost one place. Verse 12. And the Lord said to Satan, so verse 11, stretch your hand, touch all that he has, he'll curse you to your face. In that white space, I like to talk about the white space in Monsieur. In the white space between the end of verse 11 and the beginning of verse 12, I want to show you what the Lord said. In the verse 11, again, in that white space, this is what the Lord said to him. That's what he said in the white space. The word of God says the Lord knows those who are his. Am I right? He knows those who are his. When God says twice, verse 1 and verse 8, that this man is tight, he knows those who are his. Mm-hmm. Now, what Satan doesn't know is that all this is going on between God and Satan in heavens. Job don't know this. You don't know what your life, you don't know what's happening behind the scenes in your life. Just keep trusting God and serving God. Because you don't know. It is an exercise in futility if you try to go figure it out, but you're not going to figure it out. It's beyond figuring out. Amen. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge, from the King James Version, where I grew up understanding that, learning that verse. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are your judgments, unsearchable, and your ways past finding out. You can't find them out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Got to trust him. He tells the devil, in a sense, want to bet? He's so confident. The Lord is so confident. Look at verse 12. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. That's sovereignty. The devil is God's devil. Remember when I heard that phrasing? In 04, 05, I fell out of my chair almost. Nephew, I was doing study. I think Luther said that, I think it was. The devil is God's devil. Was that Luther? Yeah. Man, that turned me toward reform living. Because I knew a ton of scripture. I knew the devil didn't create himself. I knew the devil was created. I knew that God is all knowing. I just had to back up what I already knew. So, did God not know that Lucifer, who was the angel who covered, who was the grand choir director and worship leader in heaven, the angel of light, did God not see the day that iniquity was found in him? Did he not see that day before he ever made and created Satan? Yes. I had to think it through. So he went ahead and created him anyway, knowing this was going to happen. He knew it. The devil is completely under God's control. He couldn't touch Job until he gave him permission. And then he gave him permission to touch his possessions. But look at the rest of verse 12. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. You can touch his possession, but you can't touch him. Job, when I came out of Word of Faith, I'm in the main of church, that's all right. When I came out of Charismatics movement, I was believing, not overtly, but implicitly, not explicitly, but you know, when I had to look at it, it's what I was believing, that the devil was a rabbit-eyed dog and God had him on a leash. And then he broke loose from God and started running around the world, biting people, and God is running around behind them. He said, oh, I didn't want you to do that. Oh, Lord, I didn't want you to do that. Like the devil is now out of control. Because I was taught that the devil made you sick when God wants you to be well. The devil made you poor when God wants you to be rich. That's what I was taught. If you sit down and think about it, who's sovereign in that teaching? The devil is. Because there can only be one sovereign. That's why I keep going through those definitions. When you're talking about soul controller, possessing unilateral authority and all of that, that's what I'm talking about. I want you to keep hearing that. When you talk about soul controller, possessing unilateral, one-sided, independent, autonomous, influenced by no one, self-governing, self-determining. In a nutshell, the sovereign will of God is God purposefully taking all actions, all events, and all contingencies, which means possibilities and likely the possibilities seen and unforeseen, and working them together for a predetermined end, which is for his glory. There can't be a two sovereigns. So if the devil is running around like a rabbit-eyed dog, then that means at that moment he's sovereign. But you can see clearly in Job, he says, you may now touch his stuff, but you can't touch him. Verse 12, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. In verse 13 down to verse 19, all 10 children are killed. All of his property is gone. All of those camels, sheep, oxen, and goats that you read in verse 1, 3,000 camels, 7,000 sheep, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. All of that is gone. And verse 19 says, they struck the four corners of the house and fell upon the young people. They are dead, and I alone escaped to tell you. Verse 20, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground. Two of the greatest words, and worshiped. That is head shaking. If nothing else proves to you as a regular human being or regular child of God in 2021, reading this Bible, that ought to do it right there. Because there's no way you can do that after 10 children are killed. You can't. You don't worship God unless you really are who God says you are, who God says you are, not that you say you are. That's why you always get nervous when somebody's always talking about how much they've changed and this, that, and the other, if they're the only ones talking. I've changed, man. I'm a new person. I'm different. Yeah, but if you're the only one knowing that you changed and nobody else around you knows, it's something wrong. That's a real problem. That's a real problem. He fell on the ground and he worshiped. And it tells you what he says in his worship. And he said, naked I came to my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave me the 10 children in possession and so forth. And the Lord decided to take them away because he's sovereign. He can do what he wants. He has the right. There goes the word. That's why I want to add that to the definition. He has the right. He's absolutely sovereign. I can give you 10 children. I can make you the richest in the land. And I can take it all away. Because I got the right to do that. I'm God, and I'm God all by myself. I'm influenced by no one. The question is, will you continue to serve me when all hell is breaking loose? We'd love to say God is good, for the Lord is good all the time. We love that. But he's still good if your dad dies at 9 years old and you walk in the house and there is in the chair looking to the heavens dead. That's my story. He's still good. He's still good. When your mother goes in and doesn't come back out, he's still good. Yes, sir. That's what we don't get. We love to say that he's good when things are sunny, but he's still good when it's rainy. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord. He's still good because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Thank you. He doesn't change. I, the Lord, I change, not Malachi 3:6. Hallelujah. That's what we got to get to. Not just when things are going good. Or I got a promotion. I got a raise. I got a new car. I got a new house. Got a new friend. This, that, and the other. Oh, the Lord is good. Yeah, he is. But can you say it is well when in the natural it's not well? Because he's still good. And his mercy still endureth forever. What an example we have before us. He said, I recognize the Lord gave this to me. He has a right to take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I was told time and time again in the charismatics that Job was wrong. They literally said that every single time they read over this. Job was wrong. So you don't have any appreciation for Job when you're in charismatic land. You don't have any appreciation for Job. You don't recognize the great saint of God that he really is. And it's something, because I don't know, I figured you know better than me. You're Kenneth Copeland. You're Kenneth Hagin. You're Fred Price. You know, we're talking about the Hall of Famers of the faith movement. Surely you got big worldwide ministries. You're on TV all over the world. I'm just a little PI from Inkster. I'm a pastor in training. Surely I don't know nothing. You got to know it. But I'm still reading though. Lord give, Lord take it away. That's what Job said. Now I find out years later, they were wrong. And God is right. Let every man be a liar and let God be true. Hallelujah. Job was not wrong. He understood sovereignty that you don't understand. Because ultimately, you might have got your car through GM, through Mercedes, or whoever. Your food might have come from Kroger. But it didn't come from Kroger. It came through Kroger. Your car came through whoever. Because it came from God. Ultimately, God allowed you to have it. Because, fella, we are not that smart on to have the wives that we got. We are not that smart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Powerful. 10 children dead. He's on his knees worshiping God. And then verse 22, to validate it all. In all this, Job did not sin. How you going to say what he was wrong? And then that's the next verse. In all this, all what? 10 children. The loss of 5,000 sheep and 6,000, this, that, and the other. Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Powerful. Mighty man of God. What an example for us. And we got way more knowledge than Job ever had. Verse 2, it's hard to read chapter 2. Because here it come again. And there was a day when the sons of man came and presented. I told you, it's probably a regular thing for the Lord. Satan came again. Lord said, where you coming from, Satan? Going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down. And I'm still prowling. Lord said again, have you considered my servant? Like, Lord, why? This is just too much. Get a dude a break. Uh-oh. What is it? What is it, Katrina? It's my niece that predetermined end. It may seem unfair. It may seem unfair, but we're going to ask the same question that the Holy Spirit asked to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there any unrighteousness with God? Be careful. Just because you don't get it or may seem unfair to you doesn't make it unfair to God. Because you're unfair, and what's fair to you is not the same thing with God. Because we let folks slide. We don't have a holiness to protect. Holy means holy. Perfectly holy. I was telling my niece, every single sin got to be paid for. I can't let not one slide, or else I'm not perfectly holy. We don't understand that. Tell her, Junior, don't do that. We're going to get a spanking. They're doing that. Oh, boy, now I done told you. You know, next day, five times later, you know. We want God to be like that. But that's not God. He's perfectly holy. He's pure and holy. He does what he wants. He knew still 1 Corinthians 10, I think 13, that he will not, 12, something like that, he will not allow you to be tested, tried beyond your ability to bear. Is that 10:13, nephew? Say 1 Corinthians 10:13, yeah. He will not allow you. So he knew what? Job could handle it. Just because that verse shows him in 1 Corinthians, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, doesn't mean it wasn't true back in the first book of the Bible. That's a law. He will not allow his people to be tested, tempted, and tried beyond their ability to handle it. So he knew that even after the death of 10 children, loss of all of his possessions, he kept letting them come back the next day. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on earth. He said that a third time. He still says he is blameless and upright, who fears God, turns away from evil. He still holds fast his integrity. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. You trying to get me to destroy my man. You trying to trick me, but you can't trick God. But he don't say he tried, because the Lord just said it. You tried to incite me against him, and he still held fast to his integrity. That's God's commentary on Job. That's incredible. What a shame that in the Word Faith movement, he just looked at as just a sinner. I was told by the great Kenneth Hagin himself, somewhere in chapter 4, there's an obscure verse that says, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." See, there it is right there. That's what he tells us, Kenneth Hagin. See, he was in fear. Fear opened the door for Satan. That's right. Yeah, shake your head. And we don't know how to put it together because we've got this legend standing in front of you telling you, okay, well, you know better than me. No, you be Berean. You go home and study it yourself. God said it not once, not twice, but 3 times that this man is upright, blameless. He did not sin. He holds fast his integrity. But your theology concerning, you know, success and devil attacks and all that is so strong that you put aside all of the Word of God and find one little verse and then twist that to fit your theology. Amazing. See, he was in fear. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He was in fear, therefore he was in sin, and that opened up the door for Satan to come in. And so that clearly it says that the Lord God gave him permission to attack. Clearly says that. Clearly says that. That's what makes me mad. I'm not going to lie to you. That's garbage, because you're trying to perpetuate your beliefs. That's isogetical teaching. You're imposing your interpretation on top of the intended interpretation. Instead of trying to pull out exegetical, meaning to pull like exit, to pull out the meaning that God intended. And it's crystal clear here. You got to try to get me to destroy my love. Verse 4, then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, and all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse you to your face." He said, okay. The devil said, well, he did hold on. You took everything from him. But you know what was precious to a person is their health. Take that away, and he'll curse you to your face. Touch his body. Hear the sovereign God. And the Lord said to Satan, verse 6, "Behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life." Now you can touch his body, you can make him sick, but you can't take his life. God is in full, this is really a great scripture. I know it's disturbing to hear the hard part about it, but the thing is, God is in full control. Don't, but you got to spare his life. When from the presence of the Lord struck Job with loathsome sores, from the sole of his foot, crown of his head, took a piece of pottery to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. Then his wife came, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity?" See, she even says, "You still hold fast to your integrity." He's still holding fast to godly integrity. Curse God and die. What a wife. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak." Notice he didn't call her a foolish woman. Even in that, he's showing honor to her. He said, "You speak as one of the..." He said, "You sound like your mother, crazy old woman. You know better than that." To me, that's what's really behind. Not like you're a foolish woman. No, he said, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak." Then he says, "Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with it. Says it again twice. God is sovereign even in our suffering. We need to remember that. He doesn't walk off and leave you. He's right there. And he's still as good and kind as he ever was, because he changes not. I know it's a hard thing to hear, and it's hard to read, but I'd rather give it to you hard, and then you can meditate on it and get growth in it and be stronger when trials hit you, rather than questioning God and ready to curse God and mad at God. And because if you're mad at God and cursing God and turning your back on God, then who gonna help you? Who else gonna help you through your hard times? There is no one else. Because the devil's saying, "Cool, she turned away from God. He's turned away from God in the hard time. Great, I got him. Because there's no one else that I can that can handle me. I'm gonna tear this person up. Do like Job. Hold fast to your godly integrity. Worship the Lord, but you gotta know who He is." Goes back to character, the character of God. Yes. And we'll get back, we'll roll back to that on Sunday, Lord willing, in Jesus' name. Father God, what shall we say to these things? I just thank you for the truth of your scripture. Thank you for the truth in your word. We don't have to depend on man, in a sense. In that sense, even the Holy Spirit is supposed to be speaking through me to even explain your scripture. So we don't depend on man. We depend on you as you work through man, but we're not depending on man. And thank God we don't have to. We trust you. And help us to understand that you are good even when things are going bad. And they may be going very badly, but you are still very good. Amen. We thank you, Father, as we stand on your word in Jesus' name. Amen.